pull out another insert in your bulletin, you will see the scripture readings for today. There are three of them that you see printed there. For those of you watching on live stream, you can write down the passages and then look them up to follow along. They are Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and finally 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Hear now God's word, beginning in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that Pastor Ken isn't preaching this morning. I don't know if he'd be able to make it through. That is a beautiful picture of gosh, just what we are doing here and who our great God is. So praise Him, and it's great to be with you. It is great if you are joining us live streaming. So glad that you joined. It's the very first time we've ever done this. And so I hope that it's not, I don't know, that buffering or something right now. This will not be the last time that we do this. And in some sense, this has given us the impetus to catch up with everyone else. So we will continue to do this by God's grace, and whether you are here in person or whether you are here via live stream, we're really glad that you have joined us. We are going to continue on with the series that we were in, that we started last week, and that series is called 2020 Vision, and in this series, we are looking at the future of NAPC. And what we're trying to do is give a three-week summary of who we are, what we're about, and where we are going. No matter what is happening in our world, this is who we are as a church and who we long to be. And three simple words that I am using to capture what we want to be about as a church. Up is the first word, in is the second word, and out is the third word. And last week I talked about up, that our orientation wants to be relentlessly in a posture of looking up at the great God when there are things happening all around us in our world, when the world is just going crazy, when there are dark times. We want to look up at the living God who is sovereign over all things, and we want that to be first and foremost our posture. And so we look up to Him. As I said last week, A.W. Tozer, an American pastor, he once said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And what we think about God ought to move us to tears sometimes. What we think about God ought to give us peace in difficult times. And that doesn't mean that we aren't at times shaken, but we look up to God. Okay, so that's where we started. And what I said last week is that should actually cause us not to go out and do a bunch of things. It should first and foremost cause us to be still and know that He is God, and then to think about how we are to apply His awesome majesty to our own lives. And that is what we're going to talk about this morning with in, and then what we'll talk about next week as well. But what I mean by in this morning is that we want to develop patterns and habits that will cause us to continuously be in relationship with God, be growing in our faith, and becoming more and more like Jesus. What do we do to fill ourselves with His power and presence and Spirit so that we can walk with Him for a lifetime? Because this life, We don't know how long we have, but it is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we don't want to burn out. And so this morning, I'm going to give us really three first points and then a fourth kind of conclusion for how we apply this all to our lives. We want to be people who are in it for as long as we have breath, right? And how we do that largely depends on what we do within us and how we continuously push ourselves to look up at God and fill our own spirits with all that He has given us and all the ways that He's given us to continue to grow in our faith. That's what we're talking about this morning. So let me pray again for us. Father, we are again grateful that You have brought us here together. We are grateful whether we are here via live stream or actually here in this building. We're grateful that we can be together. And Father, we want to again lift up our nation and our world. And we pray that You would work mercifully in and amongst us. Father, we pray that though there are undoubtedly some of us who will go through tremendous trials in the coming weeks and months, we pray that You would send Your Spirit and that You would give us peace in the midst of trials. And we pray that we would trust in You. And now, as we look at Your Word, we pray that You would speak to us and You would cause us as Your people to do what we need to within us so that we might grow and might just continuously over a lifetime glorify You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the three things that I want to talk about first. The first one, these are ways that we see in the Scriptures God calling us to feed our own spirits and to continue to grow in our understanding of Jesus, in our obedience to Jesus. The first one is worship, is our lifetime of worship is going to, as we continue to look up, our spirits will be fed and we will become more like Jesus. And we don't want to neglect that. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 talks about how all of life is worship, and it is true that, you know, we can eat or drink or take out the trash to the glory of God. Okay, we can work to the glory of God no matter what our profession is. Okay, there are all these things that we can do to the glory of God. But what I am speaking about, first of all, I want to talk about some practices in the actual gathering together in the worship of God. First of all, I want to talk about corporate worship. We are people who gather together to worship God. And while all of life can be understood as, you know, the act of worshiping our God, we gather together Sunday morning and feed our spirits by worshiping every Sunday. Now, I prepared this message on Monday, and things just continue to hit the fan day after day after day, and here we are. And so I want to say that it actually is wise, right, and good for a lot of people not to be here this morning. Okay? So if you are here via live stream, praise God. We are glad that you are here with us in that way. And one of the reasons why we're here, I sent out a video on Thursday. One of the reasons why we are here on Sunday morning when so many other churches have canceled is our elders, we talk about how critically important it is that we do gather on Sunday morning for worship. But that being said, we are continuously thinking about this and revisiting this. And we might decide in coming days that it is not prudent to do this. And so it's ironic thinking about our corporate gathering for worship when it could be that we decide that we are not going to gather for corporate worship, not because we are afraid, but because it might be in the best interest of our world and our neighbors. Okay, so we are continuing to reflect on that and try to determine what we ought to do, but I don't think that means we shouldn't talk about the importance of gathering together for worship. It from the very beginning of the church, God's people have been gathering on this day, the Lord's day, to worship. In the book of Acts, which is the story, it's the New Testament book that tells the story of the new church. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 is the very first reference to God's people meeting on Sunday morning. It says this, on the first day of the week when we gather together to break bread. And that phrase, to break bread, is an indication of having the Lord's Supper together. So they gather together on the first day of the week. And historically, from the very early part of the first century when the church was gathering to worship, they did it on the Lord's Day. Now, they also met other times during the week, but that was the main priority, gathering together for worship. And, you know, we are, even if we don't gather in future weeks physically, we will continue to live stream because we believe that is so critically important that every Sunday morning, God's people are to gather together to worship. You students, you have a tremendous number of choices out there of what you can or might not do during Sunday morning. I want to encourage you to make the worship of God a priority. Because in my life, what I've seen with both adults and students as they're growing up is if you prioritize Sunday morning worship, it will not hurt you, it will only help you. If you opt to do other things, it will at times cause you to drift away from God. And we want to be so serious about making sure that we are looking up. And one of the ways we do that is by gathering together for corporate worship. As I can speak for my own family, and that is that we have made this a priority, and you might say, well, it's easy for you to say you get paid to show up, you're the pastor. And in one sense, that's true. In another sense, we really could have structured our lives differently. And our kids have all kinds of ballet and soccer and all kinds of things that they could do. And occasionally, they do them on Sunday morning, but I would say by and large, 98% of Sundays, we are in worship together. And it has been a tremendous blessing in the life of our family, because we have had things to talk about. We've had, you know, at the end of Sunday, often we are in the middle of Sunday, when we come home, we gather, we pray, we talk about what we learned and how we worshiped, and then we pray for each other. And that has been a huge blessing in the life of our family. Are there exceptions to this? Of course there are. Are there times, you know, there are people who work on Sundays, and I'm not sure what you can do about that. We live in a time that is actually an exception to this in many, many ways. But we want to prioritize Sunday morning worship, and we always will as a church. And in my experience of 15 years of being a pastor, those who decide that Sunday morning is not that important, I see them, many of them, drift away. And not just drift away from the church, but drift away from the faith. Conversely, I see those who make it a priority to gather on Sunday morning, it becomes slowly and surely, the gospel becomes the foundation of their lives. Okay? So, Sunday morning worship, very, very important. Second part of worship is what we do privately or individually. Okay? That every single day, not just on the Lord's Day, but every single day, we ought to be going to Jesus, who is the one who gives us rest. And we do two things primarily in this regard. We talk to God and we listen to God. Okay? And what are the ways that we do that? We pray, we read the Bible. Okay? And we, as Christians, to feed our spirits, ought to be doing that every single day. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy burden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is a tremendously important way that we do this. In high school, I don't know why, I called it a quiet time. Has anybody heard that language before? I guess because we're quiet when we do it. Although when I'm praying, I'm not that quiet anyway. But this is a very important time. And I don't want to say that, you know, you give 30 minutes a day to God and then the rest is yours. That's not true. But it is certainly not less than that. Does that make sense? Like, we Christians, we ought to be going to God every single day in prayer and reading His Word every single day. That is how we worship on a daily basis, and then we gather together for the Lord's Day. Next, we want to gather together as groups. Again, it's an interesting time to talk about this. I want to point us back to the Scriptures because these apply not only to Sunday gather worship, but gathering outside of Sunday worship. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. And think about this, all the way back in the first century, some people were like, I don't want to go this morning and sleep in. I don't want to go this morning. I've got, you know, something else. We don't want to neglect that. We want to keep encouraging one another. And then it says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is that day? The day that Jesus comes back. And we don't know when it's coming, but it's one day sooner than it was yesterday, right? And so we want to keep preparing for that day. And we do that by gathering together in groups. Now, if you are new to the Christian faith, there's this word, it's a churchy, kind of Bible-y word called discipleship. And that word simply means becoming more like Jesus over a lifetime. Like that over time, we all want to become more and more like Jesus. And we talk about at NAPC that discipleship is an active process, and it's also a community-driven process. It is not done individually. We need each other, and we need each other, as Hebrews 10 says. We need each other so that we can stir up one another and so that we can encourage each other. And those are two different things. Like, stir up means to challenge one another. So we need to be challenged sometimes to get out and to serve and to be people that God wants us to be. We also need to be encouraged when we're feeling down, when we're feeling scared. Both of those things are served by corporate worship and by meeting in groups. Now, we don't want you to meet in groups right now, okay? We said this as a church, that we have suspended all of our groups, and we're going to be reevaluating that, and we're not sure how long we are going to call for that, but we will continue to evaluate things. So I want to talk in particular about a couple ways we can do this during our times today, okay? One way that you can do this is in your home with your own family. If you are married, well, that makes a group, okay? If you have children, who are the most important people for you to disciple? Your own children, okay? And we had a conversation about this as a family just yesterday. My son is back from Ohio State because, of course, just like all the other universities out there, school is closed. And we're all going to be back together, and we're going to be spending, like it or not, we will be spending a lot more time together. And I like it. I don't know if they do, but I like it most days. But I want to use this time. We gathered together as a family yesterday and said, things are going to be a little bit different. And one of the things we want to do is we want to at least once a day come together, even if it's for 5 minutes, and pray for each other, pray for the world, lift up prayer requests. We want to gather as a family and worship. And maybe you've never done this before. This is a great opportunity to start. Husbands, wives, if it seems awkward for you to pray together, do it anyway. Okay? Families, if you haven't done this before, start doing it. This is a great time because you have more time to be together. If you are alone and you live alone, then we want to know how you're doing. And even though we're not meeting in groups, gosh, we want to hear from you, and we want to reach out. So as small group leaders, as deacons, as pastors, we want to do all we can to connect with you and to just see how you are doing. We don't want anybody to be isolated during this time, unless they absolutely have to be. But we do want to reach out to one another as groups. And very, very practically, if you don't have people that know you, you've got to take the initiative. That's the last thing I'll say, okay? In almost every single one of my relationships, it feels like this. I don't know if this is actually true, but it feels like I'm always the one taking the initiative. And I know that's not entirely true, but in your life, If you want people in your life who are Christians who know you, who are going to pray for you and encourage you, then you got to take the initiative. You got to take the first step. And this is actually a great time to do that by calling somebody, by texting somebody, just by reaching out to somebody. Okay? So, groups, really, really important. Third thing I want to focus on is rest. Okay? Rest is something that we do, in my opinion, badly. Okay? What is the number one thing that you hear when you ask somebody, hey, how are you doing? I'm really
tired
or
busy.
Or both, right? I'm tired, busy, exhausted, Lucy. Yes. Usually we feel like we are running around with a million different things to do. We're not doing most of those things well because we have so many different responsibilities. When we were talking about our vision as leaders a couple weeks ago, as elders, we acknowledge this over and over again that we do such a poor job of resting. And, you know, our culture in our church is not one that readily encourages rest. And we really want to change that. We really do. In fact, the Lord has sort of done that for us. Okay? This is what we're in. We are in a season of forced rest. Why don't we embrace it and enjoy it? We are people who have such a hard time honoring the Sabbath. We're going to go through a season of rest, extended rest. That doesn't mean there aren't things to do, but it does mean that we can do a better job of resting together. I have a wood-burning fireplace in my house. It's my favorite feature of the entire home. I like it better than my garage, for sure. I like it better than, I don't really have a workbench. I'm not very handy, but I like it way better than any of those things. Even I like it better than, I love my fireplace. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, we as Christians, we do not want to be like the newspaper that I put in the fireplace. Because it starts burning, and it burns bright and hot, and then it's gone in like a minute. We want to be like the big oak log that I lay in there that lasts for like 3 hours, and it burns slow and consistently, and then it finally expends itself. That's what the Christian life is. It is not burning brightly like newspaper and then burning out. We want to be in it for our whole lives, and we want to expend ourselves over a lifetime in service to Jesus. And if we do not rest, it will not go well for us. We will break, we will get sick of, you know, church of God, and we won't do it well. And so this is a time when we are going to be forced to rest, and we want to rest. And all of this together, as we worship together, and we don't neglect the habit of meeting together, as we in groups when we are able to. And if we're not able to, we communicate with each other in other ways. And as we rest, and we will rest during this time in our lives, we are going to, now and over a lifetime, bring glory to God. Remember last week I talked about glory. Glory is this sense of the weightiness of God, that it hangs over us, not in an oppressive way, but in an unbelievably encouraging way. And we want to receive that glory, build our lives on that glory, and then shine His light in the world. And we cannot look up properly unless we are growing in our spirit, unless we are doing these things. And so I think one thing we can do, especially during this time, is really be careful that we are not doing the things that cause us greater anxiety, okay? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't take precautions. We absolutely should. We should listen to health officials and do what they tell us, but we want to not be anxious, and part of not being anxious is looking up, not feeding our spirits, and not going every day to, you know, every last article that we can get our hands on. C.S. Lewis lived in a time when it was a scary time in his life, and this was mid-20th century, And he was talking about a different scare in his day and age. But it applies to us today. He was talking about the atomic age that they lived in and the possibility of nuclear bombs. This is what he said. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristles with such chances, and in which death itself was never just a chance at all, but a certainty. We Christians, we need not be afraid. And as we seek to give God glory and obey the teachings of the people who know better than we do about this current health scare and coronavirus, we do need to be those people who are bringing glory to God by looking around us. I'm going to talk more about that next week, but I'll close with this. There are people probably in your neighborhood who are alone, and we need to reach out to them. There are people in your small group who perhaps are feeling really lonely right now. Reach out to them. There are people who might get sick in the coming days, and we, of course, need to be cautious, but we Christians need to be people who aren't afraid. In the first century, one of the most important ways that the Christian church grew was when plagues would go through cities. Who was it that took care of the sick? It was the Christians. And they would nurse people back to health, and then those people would see, wow, those Christians, they mean what they say, and they would become Christians. Now, we, of course, need to be careful with this, and we shouldn't ignore all of the dictates that our public health officials are giving to us. We want to listen to those. But we also want to be people who care for other people and who do it without fear. So we need to feed our spirits over a lifetime. That's how we will stay in it for the long haul. That's how we will be oak logs that burn on and on until we've spent ourselves. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for all of the ways that you have met us here this morning. We thank you for the great gift of worship, whether we are here via live stream or here in person. We, Lord, want to be filled with your word and go out into the world and lead and love and serve. May we do that. Would you keep us healthy so that we can do those things? Would you protect us and all of our fellow Americans and all of the people in our world, and for those who are sick, may we do everything we can to serve them in a wise and prudent manner. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray according to how Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,